Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm Bree Woods, and I'll be your lovely host this week as we present to you the first episode of a five-part original series, Cash for Carnage, written by local playwright Khalif J. Gillette. We start in Los Angeles, 1998. The century is about to turn, and a rookie detective feels like she's about to crack her biggest case. A university finds itself in trouble once again, as three cadavers have gone missing from the anatomy lab. This particular university once held a world-renowned willed body program. A program where an individual can donate their body for medical research. The cadavers are then used for anatomy and physiology courses, and the program covers the cost of cremation for the family of the deceased. Or, at least they did, before the deceased started disappearing. As our detective walks us through the facts, we'll meet the people whose dreams are tied to the success of this program. And these dreams come at a cost much higher than an arm and a leg. I proudly present to you Cash for Carnage, Episode 1, Second Chances.
Get that case on my desk by morning.
You'll get the case when there's a case worth giving. Get off my ass.
And stop smoking in your office. Some of us have asthma.
What are you talking about? I don't smoke in my office.
Detective Jennifer Nguyen, July 25th, 1999. We start, Oh, crap. Let me close this window. We start. Halloween, 1998. The century's about to turn. The world is about to end, and times are hard on us all. Character is truly tested when livelihood is on the line. You start to make stupid decisions and sacrifices. People are thrown under buses, literally and metaphorically. And keeping your head above water can cost you an arm and a leg, even if they're not your own. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's see what we got here. It was early morning when...
Redacted.
Went on a jog through the park on the University of...
Redacted.
Campus. What the hell am I supposed to do with that? Our jogger decides to stop for a break at a park bench on the southmost point of campus. There sat a stranger, hooded, calm, still. Our jogger friend attempts to engage in conversation.
Morning!
No response from the stranger.
How's the ducks? Are they biting?
Still nothing.
I can see you don't want to talk. I'll leave you be.
Our friend the jogger is then hit, assaulted if you will, by a powerful stench. Something foul, something rotten, something... dead. The jogger pulls back the hood on the stranger to find a partially dissected cadaver that had been bloating, oozing, and baking in the sun for 3 days. Which brings us to our first subject, Montreal Dubois. Black, male, 6 foot or so, large frame. A wise ass, but the kind of guy you hope makes it out of this alive. Monty was just a guy, an above-average guy, a gifted kid who actually turned out to be something kind of guy. On the day in question, he makes use of the payphone right outside of the northeast exit of the University Anatomy Lab.
Yeah, the place is right next to a freeway, so you're gonna need to speak up.
Please insert more money to complete this call.
Hold on. Aaliyah, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Trust me, your big bro is gonna get this job. It's a laboratory assistant gig, no brain work required. I'm actually overqualified. I'll tell you this, after the doctor offers me the position, I'll come and bring you some ice cream.
You promise?
Yes, I promise.
Okay, but I'll have to ask Miss Thompson if I can go.
Okay, hey, I gotta go. I'll call you after my interview. Love you.
Love you too. Love you too.
Bye. Hello? Hello?
Are you my 3 o'clock?
Yeah, that's me.
Hello, I'm...
Subject, Dr. Augustus Joyner. Black, male. Head of the Willed Body Program at the University of...
Redacted.
Brilliant man. An underdog who was given too much power too soon. He is not the best person in charge here, but everyone still gives him the respect he thinks he deserves for getting the job in the first place.
Dr. Augustus, hello, I'm...
Montreal Dubois, very nice to meet you.
Monty's fine.
Please excuse the mess. I just finished a class and the students leave things everywhere. I believe you're early, Mr. Dubois?
So I'm right on time.
I was very impressed with your resume. You have all the knowledge necessary to be one of the students at this university, and yet...
And yet life is life.
Why should I offer you this position as my lab assistant?
Because I'm passionate about medicine, and I want to be a part of it in any way I can. And I'm a fan of your work and research. I've used you as a reference in many a college paper.
Are you afraid of cadavers, Mr. Dubois? You know, dead bodies.
My instinct and childhood fear tells me to say yes, but my professionalism is telling me to say, of course not. It's just a body. I love death.
It's just a body. Good answer. And what about your last job? Why are they not put down as a reference?
Things didn't end well there.
And whose fault is that?
Theirs. They fired me.
For what?
I don't want to bore you with a long story.
Well, you are my last interview of the day, so humor me.
Pardon my directness, but why does it matter?
Because you are at a job interview, Mr. Dubois?
Because I need a job. That job ended, and this one will hopefully be my next. Why is that not enough?
I cannot just hire you off of faith.
Well, I have a copy of my BS and my final transcript. As you can see, my final GPA was...
That would be great if you were a candidate to be a student here, but it tells me nothing of your professional work ethic.
Look, Dr. Joyner, I can sit here and go through the motions of a good interview and tell you how passionate, driven, and all the other generic goal-oriented adjectives. But I feel like you understand where I'm coming from on a deeper level. We're two black men sitting across from one another, and the only thing that separates us is a desk and opportunity. And I'm a real person. And I think you are too. And real people make mistakes. And they should be given second, third, sometimes fourth chances if need be. That's the point of process, right? And it's how we get better.
Look, Mr. Dubois, I can tell you truly believe you are a good person, but I am a firm believer that people need to take responsibility for their actions. I cannot just go around taking chances on people.
I'm taking a chance on you.
Excuse me?
I read the newspaper, Dr. Joyner. It seems the public is on you right now, and people are kind of skeptical of your position as a leader at this institution.
Have a nice day, Mr. Dubois.
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't...
Hello?
Please leave, Mr. Dubois.
Augie.
Esperanza?
There he is.
Subject, Esperanza Noguera. Latino female. Granddaughter of a world-renowned physician. A brilliant physician herself who struggled to live up to that legacy. She's a shooting star that burned out. Too bad she didn't get the memo.
Are you busy, Augie?
It's Dr. Joyner, and I was just completing an interview for,
Oh, Dr. Joyner, how professional. Who's your friend?
Monty, Montreal.
I like Monty.
He was just leaving.
Thank you for your time.
I love what you've done with the place, Augie.
Hey, Aaliyah,
Monty, Mrs. Thompson said I can go. I'm gonna get pistachio and sherbet, or...
I don't think I can bring you that ice cream today. I'm sorry, but I'll make it up to... Aaliyah?
Hello?
Pathetic! I will be back for what I am owed!
Monty! I hope you heard none of that. Or all of it, I don't really care. Listen to me when I tell you, though, if you decide to go back in there and grovel, don't bother. That pathetic excuse of a medical professional is not worth getting dust on your knees.
Dr. Joyner?
Go away!
Sorry.
Don't you hate it when old friends show up and ruin the whole illusion you've made yourself? Augustus has worked hard for that respectable image he's forged. But Esperanza just has this effect on people. The next day, Dr. Joyner was having a meeting with his pal from the law school. Subject, Noreen Alcorn. Black, female. Attorney and professor over at the University of...
Redacted.
School of Law. The two of them were having their usual hangout in the anatomy lab at lunchtime.
Where's my top?
Right here.
You know, I'm starting to get used to the smell of embalming fluid as foreplay. Augustus, are you listening?
What?
Look, am I boring you? Because if I'm boring you, just tell me and I will gladly go back to my office.
What? Why do you... You're not... No.
Your heart's not in it, Augustus. I'll see you next time.
Can we at least talk for a minute?
No. Talking is for faculty meetings. If I wanted to talk to the person that I'm sleeping with, I would be married.
You are cold, Noreen.
That's the best compliment you can give a law professor. So what do you want to talk about? The rogue cadaver you let loose in the park.
That was an accident.
If I'm not mistaken, that fridge is filled with dead people. How is one of those ending up on the opposite side of campus for 3 days an accident?
It was a prank by the students.
In the first week of school? Augustus, how are you letting this happen? You are supposed to be in charge here.
In charge of what, though? It's just me, Noreen. And we're losing funding, so the department won't hire another professor. I'm trying to hire a lab assistant that I'll be paying out of pocket. If anything, the university is to blame for things like this happening.
You're right. And you're not. You've got to take some responsibility in this, Augustus. You need to start being present for these students.
I'm trying. I practically live in this lab 7 days a week.
That's not what I mean. You have your nose in your research every day. You're distracted. So things like this, which is not the first time something like this has happened, are going to keep running your reputation and this program into the ground. Your tenure track can only save you for so long.
I know.
Also, we're just about the only two black professors on this campus, and I will not let you make us look bad.
What if I told you? I'm on the verge of something great. A new procedure.
Go on.
I can't tell you about it yet because it's hard to understand.
Try me. When you figure it out, you know where my office is.
I'm sorry. Please, stay.
Fine. How's the search for the lab assistant going?
Not great. I only had one candidate come in, this arrogant young man.
Okay, was he not good enough to organize your scalpels?
Well, he's qualified to be one of the students here, and he's trying to get a job cleaning up after them.
Hey, that's his prerogative. Hire him, you need the help. And he might too.
Yes, counselor.
Good, doctor.
So began the professional relationship between one Montreal Dubois and Dr. Augustus Joyner. His first week in the lab, Monty wasn't doing much. Cleaning tools, stacking bodies, getting used to the sight of cadavers. Ugh.
All right. And one, two, lift.
This damn thing's huge, Dr. Joyner.
Mr. Dubois.
Sorry, this specimen is huge. Why do you have their faces all wrapped up like this?
Anonymity. Something about looking a person in the face makes it harder to cut their heart out.
Whoa.
You wanted to know.
I do. It's just, I ain't think about it like that. How do your students react on the first day with their cadavers?
And generally cycles year to year between the classics. You know, paralyzing fear, crying, vomiting, jokes, the usual.
I can't imagine coming into class and seeing this, then expected to cut one? Nah.
Would you like to try?
What? No, I was just saying.
Look, you obviously want to be here, not as a lab assistant, I take it. So, try it out. See if the scalpel's a good fit.
Dr. Joyner.
I'm not testing you on this. Just take a cut.
Okay.
You never forget the first time opening flesh. It's adrenaline, anxiety, guilt, and exhilaration all shaken up into a cocktail so strong, it can make you black out.
Easy. Go slow. Not too deep. That's it. Follow the curve of the collarbone. You see that stuff right there?
The layer of fat?
Exactly. Now, go a little deeper.
Like that?
Just like that. You're a natural, Monty.
That's what I want to do.
Then why aren't you a student? Why aren't you here with the rest of these aggressive wannabes?
I don't know. Life just happens.
Yes, as you have mentioned. But what happened in your life? To you?
I don't really feel like...
There's already a naked person on the table. I think we're past modesty.
Well, I was left by my father, then my mother.
I'm sorry to hear that.
What can you do? I thought I did everything right. I got good grades. I went to an Ivy League. I was pre-med and one of the top students in my class, but they just left. And I was a kid left in charge of a kid.
You have a child?
Not exactly. My little sister, Aaliyah, she was like 5 when my mom left, and I couldn't just go off to some fancy school like she didn't exist. I thought I could for a split second because my grandma started helping out, but when she died, it was just me and Aaliyah for real. She's 9 now, and I think she's starting to give up hope.
Where is Aaliyah right now?
I'm trying to get her back from foster care. That's why I need this job, to prove I'm capable of taking care of her.
Where are you living, Monty?
Around.
Monty.
Look, I don't need your pity. You asked me, and I'm telling you. You gave me the job, and I'm figuring it out.
You are very prideful. That's respectable, but stupid. Refusing to ask for help can get you into some serious trouble.
Dr. Joyner, my pride is all I got left. I appreciate you, but you don't have to give me handouts.
It's not a handout. Hey, the only thing separating us is a dead body. An opportunity, right?
Dr. Joyner's never really been a people person. He doesn't let them in. But something about Monty. Maybe he saw himself. Or maybe he saw something good he can do after his long line of recent mistakes.
It's not much. It's really not much. It's just a converted supply closet down the hall with a cot and a lamp. But when I'm here working late and too tired to go home and rest, then be back in 2 hours for class, thanks for a good night's sleep. So, what a cot and a lamp do?
A cot and a lamp is more than I've had in a long while. Thank you, Dr. Joyner.
Of course. And let me show you the locker room where you can shower.
Pride. It can be hard to accept help even when we know we're better for it. Dr. Joyner was asking a lot of Monty to take this help. Monty doesn't believe in handouts. He's prideful that way. Funnily enough, so was Dr. Joyner. While he was giving Monty the grand tour of his new home office, Esperanza was coming to give Dr. J a second chance to swallow his own pride.
Escúchame, idiota. Deje que te taría las cosas y lo haré. Créeme. Tengo un amigo que me debe un favor.
Esperanza?
Augie! Just the genius I wanted to see. Do you like my new cell phone? They're getting so small these days. The antenna is so tiny, it costs a fortune.
What are you doing here, Esperanza? How did you get in?
After 4 years of running this place, you still have to keep a spare key under a pile of bricks? Or maybe you just forgot it was there? Or did you forget to change the locks after the third cadaver went missing?
Why are you here?
I just came to check on you. But I see you aren't doing well. Why is this gut on this cadaver so sloppy? Is your arthritis flaring up again?
That was my assistant that cut that. I was giving him a lesson.
You are so creative with your lessons, Augie. Funny that they all take place after hours.
Why are you here, Esperanza?
I want what's mine.
There is nothing here that belongs to you anymore.
Oh, it doesn't? So that's not my name on the side of the building? This school is named for me.
It's named for your grandfather. You forfeited your right to have any say in what goes on in these walls when you sold off 8 bodies to a cosmetic company.
I never thanked you for that, by the way. You were a real friend, Augie. You introduced me to the guy. You tell me how much he's willing to pay. You set up the meeting between he and I. Then you bribe me to step down and appoint you to my job.
You didn't give me a choice.
You could have chosen to stay by my side.
I didn't force you to start selling corpses.
But you told me repeatedly we could use the money, huh?
You needed it. You were in a desperate place. You were fragile.
I was grieving.
Same thing. I didn't hold a gun to your head, Esperanza. And besides, I had more to lose than you. You had already made your name in this industry. I was up and coming.
You do not have to explain to me. I understand how tempting it is to climb. And so that is why I am here, because you need a climb, and I have a ladder.
I don't need anything from you.
That is not what the school newspaper says, and I just so happen to have a copy with me. Would you like to hear it? Headline: Professor Augustus Joyner, head of University of...
Redacted.
Willed body program is in hot water after cadaver gone missing for 3 days. Shows up on the opposite side of campus. Wow, Augie. I am so proud of you for getting your name out there.
It was an accident.
Was it? It seems to me that anyone can walk right into this space and into that refrigerator filled with human bodies and take whatever they like right from underneath your nose. And if I just so happen to be able to prove negligence on your part, all of this goes away. And you would understand how I felt these past years since being exiled from the program I built.
You can't prove anything.
Earth to Augie. The newspaper headlines in the key under the very obvious pile of bricks says otherwise.
What do you want?
Like I said, it is not about what I want. It is what I want to give you.
What is this? A love letter?
Open it and find out. That's $3,000.
Where did you get this kind of cash?
Augie, that's between me and my clients. But just know, you get to go home tonight with $1,500 and it costs you nothing.
What's the other $1,500 for?
Your friend who's been listening to this entire conversation.
What?
You can come out, Monty.
I thought you could use some help, Dr. Joyner.
Esperanza has an effect on people. She scares the pants off of them, but they can't stop listening to her. And the thing about Monty is that he puts his trust into anyone who can give him a way out. He's a sucker for instant gratification. And the thing about Dr. Joyner is, even when he tries to do right, he always ends up ruining someone's life. The first night seemed like it lasted forever for these three. They were up working until the roosters crowed.
The sun's coming up. We have to hurry. How are we doing, Augie?
Here. It can stay in this cooler on ice for a few hours, but you need to get it to its destination and into a freezer quickly.
Do not insult me, Dr. Joyner. I taught you everything you know. It has been great doing business with you gentlemen. I'll be in touch.
Shouldn't we go with her?
Oh, how eager. No. Take care of Augie for me. He can be such a worrywart. I'll be seeing you soon.
Leave through the back door, please.
Always.
Can we trust her?
Yes. And that's the problem.
I can't believe we just did that.
You know those students who took the cadaver and put it by the lake?
Of course, it's all anyone around here has been talking about.
Their medical careers are over, and they are out of the program.
That's terrible.
Not for you, it's not. A spot is now open in the program. with your name on it, if you'd like it.
Dr. Joyner, that's... Don't say it if it's not true.
Esperanza isn't the only one you can trust. Welcome to the program.
Wait. I can't pay for this school.
Monty, you just got a $1,500 scholarship. And there's a lot more where that came from.
Power. Dr. Joyner tends to be very generous when he feels someone has the power to pull the rug right out from underneath his feet. Monty has that power. Esperanza has that power. A whole lot of people have that power over him, actually. So what's one more?
Who's here this early? Hello?
Is Dr. Joyner here?
That's me.
Hello, Dr. Joyner. I'm Detective Jennifer Nguyen, and I'd like to ask you some questions.
That was the first episode of Cash for Carnage, and yowza, what an episode. Please join us next week for episode 2, titled Catching Mice. Featured in this week's episode were Donovan Woods as Montreal Dubois, Nedra Dixon as Noreen Alcorn, Walter Coppedge as Dr. Augustus Joyner, Vanessa Severo as Esperanza Noguera, Kristen Starks as Aaliyah Dubois, Justin McCoy as the Chief and the Jogger, and Ivy Bowie as Detective Jennifer Nguyen. The series is written by Khalif J. Gillette. Laron Cooper is our sound designer, and I am Bree Woods, your host and director. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible with the support from listeners like you. For information about supporting Kansas City Actors Theater, visit kcactors.org/donate. Our program sponsors are the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, Arts KC, the Missouri Arts Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, Theater League,
and the Bradenthal Snyder Foundation.
And we'd like to give a special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. We'll catch you next week at noon right here on KKFI 90.1 FM and wherever podcasts are consumed. As always, thanks for listening, and until next time, stay healthy and stay tuned.